Oh no, it's coming! Run for your life! Run for your life!
I can hear its footfalls, it's squeezing between the buildings! Oh no!
Is it Godzilla? Is it a kaiju? Oh no!
Oh no, no, it's even worse than that! It's William Shatner going to the shops!
All of that. For that.
I am terrified beyond the capacity for rational thought.
Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm Crumbly.
I'm Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I am...
ridiculously gallant and kept trying to give me his coat because it was cold.
And raining.
It annoyed me quite a lot.
And you forgot raining.
Yes, I know it was raining.
It's raining out there. Anyway, without further ado...
Love you.
Love you too, my huggy squeezy toys.
Sorry, Crumbly.
Anyway, without further ado, giant monsters rampaging through the streets of Tokyo or any other major city. It's the news with El Presidente.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
BBC America, no longer part-owned by the BBC.
Ooh.
For a few years, particularly during the Moffat era, BBC America was very important to Doctor Who. Not only was the series consistently breaking its viewership records in the United States, but it was also receiving a nice budgetary boost from the cable broadcast network. As the BBC proper made plans to partner with Disney, that relationship ended.
Aww.
First with the funding of the Classic Who animated reconstructions, and ultimately with Doctor Who disappearing from BBC America completely. Despite that, the commercial arm of the BBC, BBC Studios, continued to own 50.1% of BBC America, with AMC owning the other 49.9%. Now BBC Studios has completely sold its stake to AMC for a rather low but very hitchhikery number of $42 million. BBC Studios hasn't completely abandoned North America, as they own the international version of the streaming service, BritBox, having bought out ITV's stake a couple of years ago, with ITV now owning the British version. None of this is likely to make any difference to Doctor Who, but it does mean one fewer potential life rafts when Disney eventually tries to sink the timeship. You're a sunny little optimist, aren't you?
It's going to happen eventually.
Mm.
Yeah.
No BBC America to fund this in the future. Where do they go next? I don't know.
I've got a couple of quid they can have.
Well, I'm sure I can find something down tucked down the side of the settee. Mm.
It's a strange thing, though. Why would AMC want
everything?
BBC America. It's called BBC America.
Yeah. The hint in the title.
Perhaps they're going to change it.
They could do. And no, it's BBC America, but it's BBC title. I mean, how much weight does that carry?
Well, I don't know, yeah.
You know, I know it's just the name, but...
it's a weird one.
Star Wars, Andor's number 2, dated. Talking of Disney, they have finally announced when we will start seeing the second season of Andor, a Star Wars story. There's lots of colons in there. But anyway, a Star Wars story, as they are apparently now dubbing it. The date is the 22nd of April next year. As we know, when season one came out, over 2 years ago now, this was to be a strictly two-season affair, leading directly into the events of Rogue One, somewhat curtailing the possibility of any more. Again, we have 12 episodes carrying 4 story arcs that span 4 years between the first season and the film. And yes, Alan Tudyk will be returning as K2SO for at least the final arc.
Yay.
Yeah. Mm. I finally caught up with season one, and yes, I have enjoyed it. It's been very, very good.
Yeah. I did see that a few weeks ago, that Alan Tudyk was reprising his role anyway.
Yeah. Which is good, as it should be, if he's going to go right up to the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
You've got to have K2SO somewhere.
At least in the final episode, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Tony Todd.
Dead.
This was sad.
Yeah.
Mm. Performed the Klingon death howl as actor Tony Todd has gone to meet Feklia, aged only 69.
Yes, a lot younger than I thought he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For horror fans, Todd was best known as playing Candyman. For Star Trek fans, he will always be known as Worf's brother, Kern. His career included TV, film, theatre and voice work. In addition to Star Trek and Candyman, he appeared in such films as Platoon, The Crow, Beastmaster 3, The Eye of Braxis, The Rock, Final Destination, Transformers, Revenge of the Fallen, and Sky Sharks. For TV, Babylon 5, A Call to Arms, 21 Jump Street, MacGyver, The X-Files, Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, Xena,
Yay.
Warrior Princess, Angel, blimey, Smallville, Stargate SG-1, Transformers, Prime, The Flash, Be Cool, Scooby-Doo, The Orville, etc., etc.
Yeah. He was also grown-up Jake Sisko in DS9.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, he was. Again, he's not burst on the scene, but had been everywhere.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, I liked... He's got a voice
he had an amazing voice.
It was lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot of voice work.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's like Vaughn Armstrong, sort of. He's appeared in everything, but you don't really sort of recognise him until you see his face. And
yeah.
He did lots of computer games, video games, too.
He did. Lots of Star Trek video games.
Yeah. There's Star Trek Online, which is an on. And as whenever a respected person dies, there's been tributes held on the DS9 location and the Kronos location.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
David Tennant.
Oh.
Dead.
Ooh. What?
Yep. Aye? David John Tennant, 53, has dropped dead of extreme overwork.
No.
I think you've...
If I jump the gun, yeah.
Stepped over yet the again. Line here.
Yes, again.
I think he's moved on from Tom Baker.
You're picking on David Tennant now. Rub that out nice.
Go on,
rub it out. Rub it out.
Don't like it that much.
And do we have any addendums?
I have...
You're such a twit.
I have a couple of addendums.
You have a couple of addendums? Right. What's your first addendum?
My first addendum is there's a new British film coming up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Much in the same vein as Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, right. I know what this one is.
Hmm.
Elvis v. Zombies.
Is this the one with Nicola Bryant in it?
This is actually the one with Nicola Bryant and Mark Benton in it.
Is this along the lines of Pride, Prejudice and Zombies?
It could be something along the lines.
That's a good film.
The plot synopsis is...
There's a plot?
There is a plot. Six Elvis impersonators and their mentally unstable driver, Duncan, are heading towards the annual Elvis convention in Folkestone. That is until a crashed military cargo plane releases its top secret cargo on a field of flatulent cows. A terrible catalyst occurs, giving birth to zombies, and puts the Elvis's plans for stardom on the back burner.
Oh, God, this is going to be brilliant.
Brilliantly bad.
Exciting. Production company is Misty Moon. There is no actual release date that I can find at the moment.
These sort of films aren't released, they escape.
I'm quite willing to believe that, yes.
So will it be a cinematic release or straight to video?
I don't know. I think at the moment we're going...
I wanted to go to the cinema.
I think at the moment we're going straight to video.
No, go to the cinema, let's watch this on the big IMAX.
I don't think it's really shot at that high resolution.
Yeah.
It'd probably be on a few film festivals, probably as far as it go.
Later night when everyone's completely bladdered.
Yep, they're the best ones. My second addendum is to do with the film Wicked.
It's
coming out in a few weeks and in time for the Christmas market.
Is it? Okay, shortly. Yep.
Yeah, and as most things, they've done various toy releases and and a website, which is apparently the in thing today, shows how old I am. But
a website is the in thing today.
Sure they had websites for films good 15 years ago.
I think they did.
But Mattel have released a Barbie range tie-in to Wicked.
Why not? Mm-hmm. I've got a Barbie 13th Doctor somewhere over.
Admit that.
So we have a doll of the Wicked Witch and a doll of Glenda the White Witch.
Okay.
they are perfect and wonderful and a nice reproduction of the actors, the actresses.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
So a Barbie Glinda and a Barbie Elphaba.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And we have the package. The package containing these dolls has had a small faux pas, or if I may say, boob.
Oh, dear.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is boob the key word here?
The website for the film is called wickedthemovie.com.
Or .xxx, maybe.
No. There has been a spelling mistake on the box.
Right.
And yes. The box says go to wicked.com.
Which is a porn site.
Oh, no. There's going to be a lot more than casting spells if you go to that website.
The a withdrawal has been issued.
Appropriate.
But if out there you have bought these particular boxes, don't give them to your kids. Save them and put them up in the loft, because a couple of weeks or a couple of months' time, they're going to be very, very expensive, because you won't be able to get hold of them.
Yeah. Indeed.
Oh, God.
It adds a whole new meaning to the phrase defying gravity.
Yeah. Wow.
Any more addendums?
No, after that one.
And that's the end of the news. No. Just no.
I told you you'd enjoy it.
We've been watching some television.
Oh, yes, we have.
And we've been watching some black and white television.
Back in the mists of time.
Young people, this was how we used to watch the telly in our day. Mm.
Black and white on Blu-ray.
Right, colour hadn't been invented. Oh, we've watched some Doctor Who.
Ooh.
Pause for music. Planet of the Giants, first story of the second season.
Indeed.
William Hartnell with Ian, Barbara and Susan.
Yep, she's still there. Just.
Yeah.
Just. No, this is her penultimate story, isn't it?
Mm.
Next stop, Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I haven't seen this one in a million years.
I've never seen it. This is my first time.
Yeah. I think I've probably seen it before, but that was something like a fourth generation video call.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
So that blur walks across the background blur.
Yeah. And I'd read the Target novel before I saw it. It's a three-parter.
Yeah, which I found unusual.
Yeah.
Well, it was shot as a four-parter.
Yeah, I think various things happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, they shot all four parts, then somebody... Was it the controller or somebody watched it and said that third part's not good enough? So they condensed parts 3 and 4 into one episode.
Mm.
But anyway.
I didn't think this was bad at all. I really enjoyed this. But by far the best thing was the model work.
Yeah.
The model creatures, the model ants, the model worm.
The giant worm, the giant ant.
The giant bee.
The fly.
On the fly.
Oh, the fly, yes.
It was absolutely excellent, but you shouldn't really be surprised because Raymond Cusack was the designer.
Oh, and the giant plug hole under.
Yeah.
It was just really, really clever.
Quite a big budget.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, think of Doctor back at that time having any budget at all.
No. Notoriously budget.
Yeah, it's like the Zabu on Red Planet.
Also, though, at the beginning of it, where they're in the TARDIS, there's the lack of budget because the wall of the TARDIS is like three levels of roundels and the rest is a painting.
Yeah, it's the photograph. Right?
The old photograph, yeah. Yeah, they had to squeeze it into a small part of the studio.
But
yeah.
Another unusual thing about this one was how stupid the cast seemed to be.
Well, most particularly... No,
Ian and Barbara.
Ian
and Barbara
and Chesterton
were being a bit thick.
Yeah.
Ian, there was this giant matchbox.
Yes.
And, uh-oh... The ground is shaking. Is it a T-Rex? No, there's people coming. Instead of running the 2 yards for his size to cover in the undergrowth, he gets into the matchbox to hide.
He does that a couple of times.
He does. Or hides in the briefcase. Yeah. And then Barbara, who gets infected with insecticide, She thinks she's in The Walking Dead. In The Walking Dead, if you're bit by a zombie, you tend to try and keep it to yourself because you know you're going to die, but if you tell anyone, they're going to kill you quicker.
Mm, yeah.
She got infected with this anti-what's-it?
Insecticide.
And decided not to tell anyone. She's gradually dying and she's trying to keep it to herself.
Well, also, she does get infected virtually in front of Ian and he doesn't
notice. Yeah. He didn't notice her pick up this massive corn thing.
Yeah. They even spoke about how it looked like it was covered in sticky.
Yeah, sort of waxy, sticky.
Mm. And yet later he says he didn't see it happen.
He was right there.
A couple of times when she collapsed, I mean, she was okay because her hair sort of cushioned the fall.
Bouffanted.
Susan was, she did nothing in this one. You can understand why she was calling it a day.
Yeah, I think she was less Susan-y.
She got ice cream in there.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad and as emotionally wrought as she has been in other episodes.
Yeah, in this one, Barbara did the falling over.
Yeah.
And hurting her ankle.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that's Susan's job.
That is Susan's job.
Well,
yeah.
She did get rattled around in the briefcase a bit.
Yeah.
And then she faints at the sight of the fly, doesn't she, Barbara?
Yeah.
I mean, well, she wasn't feeling very well.
Well, that's true. Okay, you can give her that. But yeah, it's not the Barbara that we saw in Aztecs, is it?
No, it's not Barbara at all. Sort of D- for Barbara there, and say a D for Chesterton.
Yeah.
But I loved the whole little story going on above their heads.
The evil.
Yeah.
With R.K. Maroon killing somebody.
Unlike most Whos, this is not a sci-fi thing, except for the Doctor and the TARDIS. And it's not a historical one, because it takes place present day.
It's a
Columbo, basically. Because
we know who did it. And he had a cast of about three, other than the regulars.
Well, let's say four. You had dead guy at the beginning.
Yes.
Murderer.
Yes.
Other scientist.
Yep.
Well, let's say five.
Yes.
The woman on the telephone exchange, who was the hero of
everything.
Who was
the one who worked.
And the police officer.
Yeah.
But why were the TARDIS crew shrunk?
Well, it's because the doors opened during materialisation. And the pressure, apparently, wasn't
time pressure or something.
They have the doors open all the time now. Ah. They have their fathers sitting eating a sandwich with his feet dangling off.
Yes, but that's not during materialisation.
No, this is very true.
That's while they're in hover mode.
Yeah, it's a bit weak. I don't think you'd do that nowadays. But
No.
It's a weird concept. Yeah, it is. It's a very 60s Doctor Who sort of thing to do.
Yeah, but I do like the fact that it relies on the trope of the TARDIS going wrong yet again.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I did like when Evil Dude was talking to Telephone Exchange Woman. He did the old handkerchief.
Oh, good grief.
I'll have you know, we tried this several times when I was a kid. It does not work. Everyone knows who you are.
No, I saw it work in Police Squad. Frank Drebin puts the thing over there and it worked perfectly.
Was the voice female when he was speaking with the
No, it was entirely different.
It was an entirely different
voice. Entirely different voice.
Well, you see, as we've discussed many a time, it's a less sophisticated age. Yeah.
Well,
you
know, in their defence, he tried it and it did not work at all.
No,
she was going, same blow.
That doesn't sound like such and such, huh?
He's putting it on. It was an unusual Who, but it moved, as I said, we don't know what the missing third episode would have been
There is actually a reconstruction of episodes 3 and 4 as they would have been on the Blu-ray set.
Okay.
I have to go and look at that.
She and Levine did, but don't let that stop you.
It moved on as this format. It did move on at a fair pace.
It's very good, yeah.
Yes. You didn't get bored or, more importantly, annoyed with the characters.
Yeah.
I did like the sync set with the massive plug hole.
And the chain. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I preferred this to the 6-part episodes. Which, I tend to fall asleep.
Pretty much. As I've said before, the show itself was designed to be watched in 25-minute increments a week apart.
Although I didn't with this one. I watched all three back-to-back.
We did. Because I said it did move at such a pace.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff they cut out was, there's a bit where they found a notepad. with the scientists writing on it.
Yeah.
And he's trying to transcribe it into something of TARDIS crew size.
Yeah.
And apparently that was an entire 5-minute scene.
Oh, God, really?
Ooh, yeah, that could have been.
Which was then, there's this quick fade in the version went out.
Which is all you needed. You knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And there was a load of stuff with the killer, the RK Maroon guy.
Yeah.
From Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
If you might have recognised him.
Yes.
Is that who
the manager of the company, film company.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. He's trying to fake various documentation that he found in the briefcase of the scientist he'd killed.
Yeah.
So that's another 5-minute scene which didn't serve
really
any
do anything
real purpose.
At all. That
So they actually filmed it. They just edited it all down.
It's all gone now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's gone now. Don't know what happened to it, but it was filmed and edited, but then re-edited.
I like the fact that they stuck with what they knew would look good. They didn't overreach. They didn't make the ant suddenly be alive and then
there
die.
There was a fly alive.
Yeah, but it's very easy to lower a fly onto it rather than having an ant running towards
you. Yeah, they didn't show it flying away. They turned away from the fly, then you heard it fly
which,
away.
A helicopter sound.
I was wondering.
Thought that was okay.
I love the idea that nowadays they'd be saying doctors become woke, all of environmentalists and all that. This is Virginia season two. We've got
an insecticide, a pesticide that can wipe out everything.
Yeah, you know, which is what, DDT or whatever it was.
Well, back in the day,
they've done that a couple of times.
Which is a big thing back in those days.
Yeah,
DN6. It's obviously the
that was it. DN6. Certain things don't change no matter what we say.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much actually changed from the fact that they were there.
No,
they seem to knock out Forrester, the villain, with a bit of an explosion at the end. But otherwise, the police were coming to get him. He was rumbled because of his own stupidity.
Yes, they may have made it happen quicker.
Yeah,
you know, by the phone call.
Yes, when they were lifting the receiver up.
But I think he was into a sorry end to begin with.
Yeah, because of the telephone operator.
Yeah, I think they condensed the time period.
Yes. It's another one where I think the doctor didn't actually make any real difference to what the outcome would have been.
Not really, no.
There's quite a few stories like that. In fact, even Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, is the same.
That's the same.
Absolutely, the outcome would have been the same without Indiana Jones being there.
But it's not always about the outcome, it's about the journey.
It's very much good journey.
And the giant pussycat.
Whose name was Sunny.
Yes.
Sunny and the monkey. That's another thing that was cut out. The cat actually died in the original full-length version.
Oh, no.
They cut out that bit.
Oh,
I'm glad they cut out that
bit. It's the same thing with Star Trek episodes, Cat's Paw. They get this close-up look of the cat's eyes.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's black and white, but it's virtually the same shot from Star Trek's Cat's Paw and this one, the big close-up of the eyes. It's evil. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you had the dead scientist. There was a big blow-up, which you've got you've got Cheston standing in front of him.
With a shadow falling onto it.
I did, because they turned the scientist over at one point to check the body.
That's right,
And I did think rigor mortis had set in quite quickly, because he was rigidly...
Well, did you notice when they were dragging him, he was blinking?
Autonomous reaction.
Death spasms.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What about him going, ouch, ooh, ow, being dragged over rough paving slabs? Huh?
Yeah. So, this was just a springboard to get us into the epic that was to follow.
Well, it's a gap filler.
Yeah.
Apparently, one of the first concepts for Unearthly Child was this. It would have been episode one of Unearthly Child. Instead of the cavemen,
They
would have been they were shrunk.
Oh.
So it was a hangover from the very beginning, which they finally reworked into this story.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm. Would that have been better?
I think probably not.
Yeah.
The template that would have left the rest of the series, I think, is worse than... Tribe of Gum isn't great, but at least they were time-travelling.
It showed the possibilities of the series, which this doesn't necessarily...
This just says this machine's going to break a lot.
Yeah.
In fairness, it does.
It does.
Okay, anything else?
No, it just... I'm often impressed with these early Doctor Who's. There's a lot on the servant scene.
Yeah.
Mm. I've always used to, as a child, have this impression they weren't very good. You know?
Well,
rubbish old black and white Doctor Who.
It's the black and white.
But actually, a lot of them are really good.
Yeah.
Aztecs, this. Gunfights, even, which had the reputation of being the worst ever Doctor Who. Actually, really good fun.
I don't know why, because I enjoyed the gunfighters.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's because of the wishing everyone happy Christmas.
Oh, no.
That wasn't Gunfighters. That was...
Darling Master Plan. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we've watched Planet of the Giants. We really liked Planet of the Giants. Mm-hmm. But we'd like to know what you thought. write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
I have a 30-second recommendation. Stop the clock, please. The Burning Girls, Netflix. Awesome. Watch it. The end.
Okay.
Would you like to elucidate slightly?
Basically, Samantha Morton is a vicar. She's gone to her new parish, which is a tiny, tiny little place near Henfield in Sussex, because I recognise the railway station. And the rumour is that the church, the chapel, is cursed. Whoa. The whole little, it's very much Little Village. Think the Little Village in Hot Fuzz. It's that sort of village. And
You're not local, are you?
They're very proud of their history. They had martyrs who were burned as witches, etc. Blah, 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 that sort of thing. And they celebrate it every year. But these two little girls keep appearing who were burned in like 1506, burned alive as witches. And if you see them, bad things are going to happen. And she sees them a lot.
Hocus pocus.
Didn't they die from being burnt in hocus
pocus? Yeah. I bet there's three of them.
And she sees them a lot.
Right.
And she's got a teenage daughter who's very good. And I really can't tell you anything else about it without spoiling it. But it is 6 episodes long. We watched it in one evening because I was just hooked on it. It is extremely good, and I do recommend you give it a go. The Burning Girls, Netflix. Yes.
Right, I've got a 30-second recommendation.
Okay. Reset the clock!
Resetting the clock!
Beep, 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 beep. Right, my 30-second recommendation is Three Body Problem.
Oh, yes.
Yes, it's on Netflix at the moment.
Cancelled.
Yes. apparently there is a second season coming.
Wow.
Apparently it's about, it includes a bizarre virtual reality game, a group of scientists who find out that science isn't working, and the threat of an alien invasion that won't come for 400 years.
But threat?
Well, it's a threat because without giving away too much, there's no such thing as privacy anymore, because you're being observed by aliens, and there's no new science.
Okay.
Yes,
that's intriguing.
Science is a lie, as the saying goes.
So, Three Body Problem, Netflix.
Netflix, yes.
I've heard good things about it. I know nothing about it. Yeah. Okay.
We recommended stuff. Woo!
Yeah. Oh, Silo. Silo's back on the Apple TV Plus. I recommend that.
Go on then.
Okay, well, Silo, quickly. If you've seen Fallout, it sounds very similar on paper. It's about civilization, post apocalypse, living in a silo, and very authoritarian, not allowed to ask about what happened before. All the records have been destroyed. You can't have tech from the before time.
Ooh.
If you're banished out to the wastelands, they watch you go out in a special suit and die outside.
Oh.
But people think the view is fake and maybe is actually lush and green out there.
Ooh.
What's true, what's not?
That's
it's really
the
good.
Question.
Okay. Really good.
Three recommendations. Don't say we never give you anything.
That's season two. Season one's already out, so.
Cool.
Right, as well as watching some Telebobs. We watched a film.
We did indeed.
We watched Pacific Rim.
Job.
Pause for music. I have a confession.
Didn't watch it.
No, I did watch it. I didn't fall asleep.
Oh, right.
I went into this... I mean, I called Keith a bad name for suggesting this.
Yeah,
he did.
Very bad name.
Repeated it quite a few times, actually.
And I went into this thinking, this is going to be awful. And I really, really enjoyed it.
Good.
I mean, it was mostly awful, but it was really enjoyable.
In an enjoyable way.
Yeah.
I have seen this before.
Yes,
I've seen this before. I didn't make it to the end of this film the first time I watched it, because half the stuff I saw this time, I don't remember.
Okay.
First lot. So.
I think he must have been in a bad mood when he saw it.
Yeah.
It's
a lot better, as in funnier, than I remember.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, myself and Fake Crumbly saw it at the cinema.
Yeah.
And,
in 2013 it came out.
Yeah.
Blimey, that long ago.
Yeah.
It's basically, everyone probably knows what it's about, but spoiler music if you
spoiler
don't.
Music. Spoiler la, music.
La, 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 la.
Not an original plot.
No. A rift has opened up between our world and another world. And
a foul alien world.
things are coming through, Godzilla-like things are coming
through.
So to fight against them, we've created, like, definitely not Transformer suits.
Well, the giant robot. Well, giant piloted robots.
Yep. And it takes two people to pilot them because those two people have to mind meld. And so they have to be compatible. I wouldn't want to mind meld with anything. There's some weird shit in my brain.
Same as me.
Yep. And they fight off the bad Godzilla dudes and try and protect the world. But they don't do a very good job because every time the bad Godzilla dudes come through, whichever city they're near is totaled. It's rubble. It's a surprise there's anything left. They've tried the old let's build a wall to keep them out. And that doesn't work when bad Godzilla dudes are like 80 feet tall and can just crush through them.
And have an axe for a head.
Yeah. But the hero of the piece, you see him at the beginning with his brother there. They're combined, they're mind melded, they share many of the same memories, and they are the dream team until the brother gets killed. And the other brother was still mind melded with him when he died, so goes
he's
a bit off his tree and goes and helps build the wall for 5 years.
Until he is recalled
by Idris Elba.
Yes.
Who is
Stacker,
awesome.
Stacker Pentecost.
A goddamn hero.
He's a big goddamn hero because the two scientists they have. One of whom is Owen from Torchwood.
Marvellously played. Well, is it a German accent? Or?
No, it was English.
It's idiosyncratic.
It's weird.
British accent,
But they're both excellent scientists. They hate each other, can't agree on anything.
Well, it's a love-hate relationship.
It is. But in a way, they're both right about what they're saying. And they've realised that more of them are going to come through, and so we have to recall Superhero to come and...
squash them.
Yeah.
Well, yes, these gigantic robots, huge. They're called Jaegers.
Yeah.
And they're about 250, sort of 50 feet tall. And obviously, they take a two, or in the case of Crimson Typhoon, a three-person crew.
It was the triplets.
Did
anyone else really need a drink after this one? All the talk of Jaegers. Jaeger boy.
Jaegermeister.
To show you how sad I am, I know the names of the four principal Jaegers in the movie.
Tell us, what was the analogue one called?
Analogue? Oh,
that's the
best one.
That was the
Heroes one.
The Heroes one was Gypsy Danger.
No, I thought that was Atomic.
No, it is analogue. Okay. It's not digital. Yeah.
I mean, the Russian one was Cherno Alpha with the brother and sister crew.
We knew they were dead.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone got kitted up, they were the only ones we hadn't got to know.
We hadn't been introduced to them,
so we knew they were dead.
As I mentioned previously, there was Crimson Typhoon, Cherno Alpha, and Tango Urella, which was the Australian father and son team.
They were good.
The son actually used to be Sean Slater in EastEnders.
I thought I recognised him. It was such a shame when he left, because I thought...
Sorry.
Do they have Kaiju in Neighbours?
He wasn't in Neighbours.
No, EastEnders.
EastEnders.
Don't you go dragging other soap operas into this.
It was Australian. My mind goes to Neighbours.
Yeah, but as you say... As stated previously, this film is very derivative of, was it Japanese mecha movies?
Yeah.
What else? I mean, there was another film made in 1990 called Robot Jocks.
Oh, what, really?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
But there again, where the Jaegers were used to sort of killing, dispatching the kaiju, the American Robot Jocks was Apollo, and the Russian one was called Alexander. And basically, they were just sort of fighting machines used in sort of lieu of a sort of armies.
Okay.
What does amaze me about this film, though, it's got two sequels.
Two?
No, one.
Yeah,
two. They were both, we were looking for it on Netflix, and they've got both the sequels up there, but not this one.
Yeah.
I saw the second one. I didn't know there was another one after that.
I'm not sure if it was a direct-to-video thing, but there was definitely two on when we was looking for
animated
it.
Or something? Because it had been animated.
We didn't look that hard.
No, I got to admit, on my first watching, it's when they went into battle and were having the crap kicked out of them, and it's suddenly, oh, wait, we've got this sword we can use.
I'm so cool.
That's when I turned it off at the first time.
That was the best bit.
That is typical Japanese mecha, that is.
But I've got my note here. Why do they wait to use the sword?
It's
your most effective weapon. You go in with that first.
Yeah.
I think that what's the first time round is what broke the back for me.
And it was the fact the sword looked like a Minecraft sword, the logo on their control panel.
Yeah.
But we had lots of deep stuff, like the young woman who Idris Elba had saved when she was a little girl raised. Mm, yeah. And she was the best of the best, but he didn't want her to go because she was his daughter. God, that was deep.
Cliche number 550.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was, of course, the father who's raised his son and alone, so he's turned into a dick.
Cliche 216.
Sean Slater.
Yep.
And then there was, of course, the wizened old warrior who had lost too many damn people and didn't want to come back, but was talked into it.
Cliche 116. Oh, yes.
Excellent.
To my mind, after watching it all the way through, it's very much a marrying of Godzilla, Transformers, Independence Day.
And Aliens, because they had acid-y blood stuff.
Oh,
there's
so many influences everywhere. Yeah.
Oh, good grief.
Well, as I think it was the people who did Independence Day. Mm. To steal from one person is called plagiarism. To steal from lots of people is called research.
They did miss a trick, though. Oh. When the flying doopley thing picked up the what's it and flew up into the sky to drop it, and it managed to, by ejecting gases and things, which quite frankly I'd be doing if I'd been dropped 30,000 feet.
I'd be ejecting
when
a lot more than gas.
They actually landed and there was this big explosion of dust and water. It wasn't in superhero pose when the dust cleared.
He didn't have his onto his knee with his fist.
That's an obvious opportunity.
It amazes me how much water they're in, but it's always only about up to their knees.
Yeah.
Very shallow water.
That's what I was thinking. There's only one bit where they actually go swimming, and that's right at the end of
the Pacific is a notably shallow ocean.
of 10 metres. That's a
it's just some of the names. I mean, sort of stack of pentacles.
Brilliant name, and you know it.
I mean, where the Jaegers are sort of repaired and sort of stored, the Shatter Dome. you can almost see the testosterone leaking out of your TV speakers.
It was written by a 12-year-old boy.
There is one thing I will give them, though. It's what Christopher Lee says. I have done many, many bad films. Mm-hmm. I have not been bad in them.
Oh, right, yeah.
And that's what Idris Elba
He gave it his all.
His Independence Day speech
cliche number 770.
Thank you.
Apparently the director, Guillermo del Toro, said to him before they started shooting that scene, "I'm going to keep shooting until the crew clap at the end of it." So he had to do it over and over again, getting that energy up until the entire crew clapped his performance.
Or he wept and rolled up in a little ball.
Yeah. Oh, and big shout out to Ron Perlman.
Hannibal. He was a baddie. He was a scoundrel.
Shades of grey. I'm a
scavenger.
With his golden shoes.
Hannibal Chow. That's,
he appears in most of Toro's films in one way or another.
Hellboy.
And also a shout out to the wrinkliest dog in the world. They had what I think was some sort of bulldog type.
They did have a bulldog there.
It was, I went into this with very, very low expectations. I expected to be actually fall asleep on purpose and not feel bad about it. But this was wonderful.
I think that is the trick to watching this film and this type of film. Go into it with very low or no expectations. You will be pleasantly surprised.
But there again, one thing I must mention is when the Jaegers and the Kaiju had a slugfest in the middle of the city, it was always the Jaeger that did more damage.
Oh, yeah,
to the city. Superhero stuff, isn't it, really?
Definitely got a sequel with, what's his name? Finn. Attack the Block.
John Boyega.
John Boyega.
I don't remember much about it. I remember seeing it and being disappointed by the sequel. I felt this one...
You were disappointed by the sequel?
Yeah, this one, you got a sense of scale.
You
really felt like these were big creatures hitting each other and everything. But in the sequel, that sense of scale had gone completely, I thought.
Same director, was it?
No.
Yeah. A couple of scenes that made me laugh. Where the Gypsy Danger and one of the Kaiju are having sort of... punching nine barrels of you-know-what out of each other. It's just where the Gypsy Danger takes a swing, misses, he its fist plows through the building and slightly touches the Newton's cradle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sets it off. Yeah. There's a couple like that. There's another one where a kaiju falls down and slides up and hits a bollard where there's a bird perched.
Yes.
Yeah. The bird flies off.
Yes. As you were saying, what should we, if you were doing overtime that evening?
Sitting there in the office. Yeah.
Well, so you've got GLaDOS's voice in the mech.
All right.
So if you listen out, you know, from Portal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
It must have been around that time that Portal came out and they employed her to do the basically the same voice as GLaDOS.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, so we liked this. This was the anti-Joker for us.
Yeah. Against my better judgment, yes, I liked it.
We did like this, but we want to know what you thought. Mm. You know what to do. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net. Well, as somebody once described it, it was either the most awesome dumb movie they've seen or the dumbest awesome movie they've seen.
It's only dumb, that's for sure. But, yeah.
But they said, still, I can't wait for the sequel, though.
Right, some of you, what? Just what?
What?
Oh. What? He's whinging.
Again?
Oh,
he must be a kaiju, does he?
It's neediness. This is what it is. It's neediness.
He's saying for the Jaegers, the heads are based on him.
Oh, they came down and attached. He's going to fall down and attach to a body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be.
One, two, three.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
Hello, Inky McSquirtsalot and Dinky McSquirtsalot.
Yeah.
Graham.
Terence. Dave Zilla.
Dave Zilla
Mighty. Carbel Grunhilda.
Dangerous Churchill. Moomin. Nazi Spock.
Folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara.
Orange glow of Clara.
Evil Cat.
Or Evil Cat. Yes.
Evil Cat? You got Evil Cat?
Under the telly. We got it from a couple of Christmases ago.
Oh, that's what? A couple? That was like 20 years ago. It wasn't
20 years ago, probably.
That's a couple.
Right, some of you have been writing to us.
Thank you.
We've heard from Matt from Torquay.
Hello, Matt.
He says, hello, staggerers.
Hello, Matt.
It's been far too long. Matt, sweetie, when you're saying two as in too long, there's two zeros on
zeros.
Here we go.
Zeros. Thapped up. Should we forget I said that?
No, that's going on the end.
I'm sure it's been far too long, so I thought I should drop you a line. It's been a lovely first summer down here in Torbay.
Oh, good.
And we have been busy exploring all of its nooks and crannies. Of course, between such things, we've been catching up with the telly and cinema.
Yes.
Not a lot of who about, really. Well, except, of course, the new Blu-ray set. I have to be honest, back in the day I drifted away from Who once Colin Baker turned up. It all seemed to get quite embarrassing at the time of transmission, which only seemed to get worse with the spoon-playing McCoy. I still watched, of course, but it wasn't my show anymore, and at the time I'd definitely grown out of it. Of course, through the videos, DVDs and now the Blu-rays, I have revisited this era of the show and mostly adore it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still only partway through this set. Remembrance was astonishingly good, and the new effects really added to the story. Also, I found Toby Haydock's documentary Looking for Dursley incredibly moving. I've just watched the first episode of Happiness Patrol and I'm struggling a bit. But I shall persevere, of course. What a lovely box set, though.
Yeah.
I've been watching more television than I could note. The best of the bunch for me has been Agatha All Along.
Oh, yes.
Heartstoppers, Yellowstone, and also the latest series of Quantum Leap, which has so far been quite disappointing when compared to the first season.
At the
cinema, I completely agree with your views on Joker 2. What a royal mess. I do think some people have been given far too much artistic license. I imagine at the production meeting, some bright spark who was paid way too much stood up and said, I know, let's make the next one a musical and get Lady Gaga on board. Oh, dear. At the cinema, it's been a really good time for horror with The Substance, wonderfully grisly, Terrifier 3, bonkers but fun in an 80s video nasty way, Smile 2, more of the same as the original but bigger, and Heretic. I now know what to do with Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses should they come knocking. Saw Paddington in Peru as well, which was nearly as charming as the others, but with a little too much Antonio Banderas. Anyway, by the time you read this, we will have had another look at the up-and-coming Who Christmas special, which is very exciting. Keep staggering, Matt from Torquay.
Thank you, Matt.
How can you have too much Antonio Banderas, Matt? I mean, how?
He was fine, isn't he?
We saw Smile the other day.
Oh, did
he?
Smile 1.
I've never seen either.
It was really creepy.
Okay.
So we had to turn all the lights on.
Right.
Yeah, it was one of those, yeah.
Blimey.
Worst 73 yards.
I like Torquay. Torquay's a very nice place.
I've been there once, but yeah.
No herds of rampaging wildebeest, though. No.
I got a parking ticket in Torquay.
Okay. Yeah. Adam, I believe Catherine's written to us.
I believe
she has.
Would you
like to read it?
We have an audio version.
Oh, let's go with the audio version.
Hello, Staggerers.
Hello,
Catherine. Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty, and hello, Head of Pertwee. I hope you're feeling better by now, real Keith, and that the rest of you haven't succumbed in the meantime.
Oops.
Nope, all good.
It's been a comfortably busy fortnight here at Shea Dragon.
Good.
As a nice change, I don't seem to be following my usual pattern of being a waste product for the month of November.
Aww.
Normally, I spend my time puttering and figuratively walking in circles in my studio, achieving very little. This year, I'm finishing all the stuff that didn't actually get done during RenFest, am on track to fulfill the orders I took for Dragons by the end of the month.
Good.
Here's hoping I didn't just jinx myself.
Good luck.
I am looking forward to the live version of Stuff of Legend when it comes out next month.
Oh, yeah.
And comparing it with the studio recording. It did sound like y'all had a lot of fun watching the performance.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
On to feedback. Joker. Fallait et deux. I don't listen to too many podcasts that would have reviewed it, so I don't know how badly Americans have mangled that title. But I'm sure my take wasn't all that good.
Better than mine.
Gotta say, I have not had any interest in any Batman movie since the second of the Nolan films. Sounds like they made some not too good choices in this film. And you said the stars and or writers didn't want to make it.
Apparently.
Might be time to give the franchise a rest for a bit.
Yes.
Axis of Insanity.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've listened to an Aramam story. I've missed her.
Aww, yeah.
She and Perry are a great pairing. This story was a little slippery to follow, as Adam found. Even though I was listening while doing relatively mindless things, I found my attention wandering and have had to work to catch up. This is probably a me problem, and I should be paying better attention to the stories and characters I enjoy so much. You asked for recommendations?
Oh, yep.
Oh, so many options.
Okay.
My immediate thought was Neverland and Zagreus, but that's a lot. I adore Zagreus, steaming hot mess that it is. And can't remember, have y'all reviewed it before?
We did, I think. Zagreus.
Going the opposite direction in terms of scale, what about selecting a couple or several of Big Finish's short trips?
Okay.
They're pretty bite-sized, and you could knock out a few pretty easily.
Yeah.
I think that's it for me. Procrastination has worked in my favor today, and I managed to put this recording off long enough that the very large truck, which was idling outside my window, has finally moved off.
Oh, good.
Be well, my friends. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yeah, have I ever listened to any short trips?
I think I've got a couple of freebie short trips that I downloaded off the site. But I have no problem with listening to the short trips, but I have more enjoyment from the full cast recordings.
Yeah, that's true.
I wrote a short trip.
I know you did.
But that wasn't for audio.
No. Do you have a copy somewhere?
Yes, so do I somewhere.
It's in an annual.
No, it's on Cornell edited Decalogue, whatever it's called.
Decalogue, yeah. Any more feedback, young Adam?
I think that is it for today.
Lead us out. Thank you. Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. But never fear.
Oh, God.
In the next one, there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity. More news and reviews. More whole and new. So until that...
P for Pacific.
Pontificating.
Postulating.
Patronising pack of pulsating penguins.
Comes prancing.
Pathetically towards us.
Towards us. This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Under this veneer of a slightly crazed and mildly socially retarded, I am a complete disaster.
You chose to share that, why? You have have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, number 459, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Hello, it's me!
Do we have to pulse silence?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hold your breath.
My tummy rumbled.
I'm just going to sit there.
That's the opposite of silence.
Right, audience participation.
Oh,
right.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yes, it is. Right, you say, run for your life. Yes, in absolute terror. Run for your lives, run for your lives, it's coming.
Why?
You have to find out.
I can't do terrifying. Terrified. Okay, let's try.
Would you like me to drop my trousers?
I've got the wrong glasses on.
Again! What is it with you tonight, woman?
I'm sorry. Okay.
What is it with you and your husband's willy?
So run for your life, run for your life.
Yeah, run for your
it's
life.
It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming, yes.
Run for your life! That's not scared at all. That's and now on the market we have four carriages for £2.30. Oh, dear. Can one of these be scared? Can I do another one?
Well, it's all pretty scary, so.
Oh, okay. Pretty scary,
all right, okay, right. Okay. Keith, you say, yes.
Run for your life, it's coming.
Run for your life, it's coming.
Okay.
That's thank you. Very good.
You say, I can feel its footfalls in the streets.
I can feel its footfalls in the streets.
Yes, as it squeezes between the buildings.
You know where this is going.
No.
BBC Studios hasn't completely abandoned the North America. The North America?
The North America.
The North America, yeah.
You realise if David Tennant dies, people are going to think you're the worst sort of scum.
Well, he will eventually.
Yeah, don't say that. I don't want to meet my new sidebar. Get rid of it.
Meet your new sidebar? You've gone to wicked.com.
Microphones off.